Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
To see you.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy,
holy. I am
lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. He's really worthy, isn't he? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen. You want to see him, just look into his word, because that's the way you find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. And we will read from Romans 8. Now remember, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, Brother Prakash will be with us preaching. And then this coming Sunday, Brother Richard Douglas will be preaching for us. So remember these two. And remember to pray for the sisters. They're leaving as immediately and as quick as I can get through. They're going to head out towards Pigeon Forge for a little time together. And then remember to all the brothers that we're going fishing, the Lord willing, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and, trout fishing. So if you want to come along, just let us know, and we'll try to be doing, and getting everything ready. Remember, too, now that the 40th year anniversary will be coming up July the 2nd and 3rd. So remember that, and Brother Keith Reed will be here with us preaching for the weekend. So remember these things, and just, let's see, any other announcements? I think that's covering everything. All right. Yeah, you brothers that are going, meet after the services, and that way your wives will be gone, so you have a little time. We can sit down and talk, and that way we can discuss what we're going to do. So remember that. Amen. I made the statement this morning. I put it on early on the message, but a lot of people, they think that you just make a statement, but what I said about the prophet and what he said, this is off of the Stature of Perfect Man, preached in 1962, 10:14, the morning service. He says, talking about the Catholic Church and how they're doing, and see how the deceit, what they're trying to do, give money away to buy. Why? They're trying to break it, and they're doing it, and she's broke. And what is it? On the gold standard. It's on the gold standard. And the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, owns the gold of the world. Someone says $168 billion. Well, Brother Joe ran it up just a moment ago. And in a 1994 audit that they listed $479 billion in stocks, $410 billion in cash, $479 billion in stocks and bonds, $29 billion in gold, and $470 billion in fixed assets, like investments and real estate. So that's how much more they've gained since even they were talking back there. But here's what a statement I was making. See, and the Catholic Church, they own the gold of the world. There they are, throw her right back on the gold standard, and you people just keep your homes and things, but you belong to the Catholic Church. I just wanted to put that on. Brother Joe, run it off for me, I know there is plenty of things that people can say, and Brother Joe ran off another one for him. We're not to be around here when all of these things are made into finality. We agree, because we're not going through the tribulation. That's not what we're talking about. But, the prophet said it, so we're not looking forward to it. We just know what will take place, because we're sitting right now. If they had a demanded payment from Russia, if they had demanded our payment, we would have been busted right then, and that would have been it. But it couldn't happen because, see, we are the image to the beast. So we're the only people in the world that can control the rest of the world with our firepowers and, you know, planes and things. So we're being able to be protected for a while. But don't worry about that. It's coming too. But who's worried? See, I'm not concerned. I'm concerned with getting into Word, getting ready to get out of here. Because before the Antichrist comes in full swing, the man of sin, the prophet said we would get out of here. So, all right. You know, so we're doing that. All right. Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Father, we thank you and we ask you to just help us now and give understanding unto us. And Lord, we see the day and the hour that we're living upon the natural out here in the land and all the things that are taking place. But we know and realize that in a reality form that all of that is just to be a thing for life. But we care if not for life, we care for eternal life. We ask you now that you would just guide us as we read your word and speak on you. You come on the scene and talk to our hearts. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord. You promised it in your word that you'd come among us and heal our sick and deliver us because it is your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not looking forward to being shut up. I'm looking forward to going up. But the prophet said there would be concentration camps up in Alaska and things for us. So the bride would be physically bereft. All right. See? That's nice. Just saying what he said. You can say, well, the bride's not going to go through these things. Well, you know, I hope not. I'm just like the man there in the Bible when it come up, you know, and said, you know, they're talking about this, that, and the other, you know, and he said, well, you know, I think we'll just be down there 2 years. I'm sure that prophet looked at him and said, amen, I hope so, but God ain't spoke to me. Well, they was down there in their 70s, so that was it. Okay, so let's read the word and just go on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's just stop there and go over to Romans now, and we'll go over about the 19th verse, because we're going to try to pick up a point and move on this afternoon a little. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Are you groaning? To be changed? All right. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, not to back up, but just for in case somebody on the internet systems and all tapes pick these up, we try to say a few words of background to where that you'll know what we're talking about and maybe stir interest in going backward and listening to the messages. We're talking about adoption in three stages, all right? Not three different things. It's not that away. It's the three stages. It's just like justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's all saying and showing that you know, it's all this continual working of the Holy Spirit, the revealing of his word, and all, and not something different, not one thing being one thing, another being another different, and up and down, you know. I'm just plain of what I say. It's just like the prophet when he was the first, second, and third pool. We can follow the first pool is fishing, second pool is fishing, and third pool is, see, what is it, deer hunting or something? I mean, it's I thought it was all fishing, you know, and soul winning and the opening of God's word. That's just, you know, the best I can say it. It doesn't change and make it different. But we have been talking about, as I said, adoption in three stages. What stage one is the new birth, because we must be brought into the body of Christ by the new birth. All right. Then the second stage is the authority or the Mount of Transfiguration in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ and his journey. And then we've went through those now for 13 sermons, okay, bringing you up to that place. Today we want to try to move into the third stage of adoption, which is the redemption of the body. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And as one true believer in the message of the hour and the Bible, I believe in a change of this body. I don't believe in getting a new one. I believe it's this body is going to be made new. Why would I live in this for 71 years and then lay it down and get me another one? And what would I look like? I mean, when we get to heaven, are we all going to be the same size? You know, then God's not a God of variety. You know, he just wouldn't. I just don't see that. And I'm not making a joke. I'm just making a truth out of it. All right. And we'll get to it into the message when we get there of studying it. Brother Branham said that we in this body, and Paul says it, we groan. Why would we be groaning in this body and then get another one? I know that's the denominational doctrine. Now, this held on, and it's in the message of the hour of people that are really very popular to preach, you know, and things, and got big followings, but they believe that we're going to get a new body. And I listened to the man, or I wouldn't say it, but I was listening to him, and the best I could get out of it was that something happens and we get some kind of a change and we step into some kind of a theophany form, and then we float around through that and go through life through the out on the ashes in the millennium, and we walk out on the top of our own bodies because they're in the earth, and then after somewhere back in the future home, we connect back. Well, I don't understand it. I didn't understand it when I heard it, but, you know, I did listen, and I don't say things that I can't, you know, say it. I did listen to people to try to explain, because I do, you know, because I want to know. That's one thing for sure. I want to know. That's my whole point. That's the reason I tell people what I believe. You know, most people never tell you what they believe. But I tell you what I believe, because it's one of two things. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. If I'm right, well, don't worry about it then. See, everything will be okie dokie. But now, listen. So then we're talking about in three stages, and we're coming now to the point of talking about the redemption of the body. All right. Now, I want to make myself plain of what I believe. Okay? Now, as I always say, I don't even ask my wife, my kids, to believe what I believe. I preach the gospel. If they want to believe it, that's up to them, because I can't make them believe it. I'm not looking, my thoughts is not on the change of the body. You remember years ago, how long has that been? 30 years ago, maybe. Some of you have been around. About 30 years ago, might have been close to 40. I said, I've quit trying to go to heaven, because I realized that the Bible wasn't speaking of that. The Bible was speaking about heaven coming here. You know, here's where I'm going to get eternal life. Here's where I'm going to be changed in a moment of twinkle of an eye. Here's where I'm going to finally come back and live. Not in this sinful condition. No. Washed off and made a utopia. You know, all right. But see, then I quit trying to want to go that away. I'm wanting to see about trying to get it here. Well, I'm not talking about, see, that we come down to the change of the body. I can show you where Brother Brown said, sure, in a seal book, that he said, and he used in that scripture, groaning for waiting the redemption of the body, he said that'll take place in the first resurrection. All right. See, now we know where that'll finally climax, right? But my concern is to get what the scripture's talking about. The scripture here in Romans is not talking about the change of the body. In reference, in the 23rd verse, it says, and we, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. All right. Waiting for the adoption. To wit, the redemption of our body. All right. Now, what does to wit mean? I know you use it as witty people, smart, you know, intelligent, but still it comes out to the same word. Go back to Webster, run it down, check it out. When you say that he's a witty person or to wit, see, it will still come back to meaning a knowledge. Because, see, a person who is witty is very knowledgeable, right? You know, all right? So it comes back to the same word as to wit, to understand. All right? To understand the redemption of the body. If we don't understand the redemption of the body, there won't be a change of this body. We will go by the grave and have to come up because of somebody that did get an understanding to wit, to understand. See? And I know and realize that I'm talking to school teachers and things that's sitting here. So then here's a ninth grade education guy telling you what a word means. I don't have to tell you what it means. I just remind you what the Bible's saying about it. To wit. To understand about the redemption of the body. See? Now, I'm not going to cover a lot in that this afternoon. Okay? So I'm going to go so far into it, and then I'll back out, and then I'll wait till the next message, because I love to do that, because I leave you dangling thinking about it. All right? And give you time to study it over and think it over. All right? So you go home and do it. And I would invite you to please do this within the next week or so. Listen to or read about 14 times the future home. And then when you get through with that, go to things that are to be. And you know, you'll get the whole doing. But now watch. To wit. See? Now, back in the Old Testament, it appears in a word there, to wit, in Genesis 24 and 21, that is when Eliezer is coming to Rebekah, and she tells him, I will water your camels and things, you know, and all of that. And it says, to wit. He was wondering there if, because that's what he had asked, you remember? He had asked God, a kind of a fleece-like, that, you know, to find the right one, let things happen a certain way. And he goes on with the fleece to see if she would, you know, water the camels and do the things and all. And see, he was wanting, he was dealing in his understanding that he was here for a reason, and being there for a reason, Lord, I want understanding, is this the right person? See, so it appears in to wit, and it gives you, which is a definition of 30, 45 in the Old Testament now. It means to know or to understand. It means to be made known or to declare. The word wit. See? All right? See, it's a word to signifying knowledge of something. And like I said, even if it's signifying to where you would read the definition of a witty person, it would still mean a knowledgeable person. See, because they wouldn't be witty if they wasn't knowledgeable. Now, that's not always educational form knowledge. That's witty is a different thing. All right, you come over into the New Testament, and you find it used to wit of the grace of God in 2 Corinthians 8 and 1. All right, that definition is from 1107 in Strong's Concordance. It means to make known, to declare, to certify, give to understand, or be recognized. The word to wit. Okay. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, where it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, you'll find it's the number 5613, which gives you like this. When... In other words, to or when that God was made reconciled in Christ, or how that God was made, you know, in Christ, or as it were, that God was made manifest in Christ. See, and all of it's coming down to an understanding. All right? Now, to read it from the original Greek straight into the English language, it says this. But also ourselves, the first fruits of the Spirit, having, and we ourselves, in ourselves, grown a sonship, looking for the redemption of the body. All right. Now, that's the original translation, you know, right into the English. All right. I like to give you these because I like to read it. I've got this book, you know, that a brother gave me, Brother Phil Kemp, years ago. And it's called 26 Translations of the Bible. And it's not this thick now, so it's not 26 translations. It only shows where the different variations. If somebody differs a word or two, they'll put it in there. See, if not, then they just give you the same definition. All right, you've heard Brother Rand speak of the Lamsa translation. And he says that it was perfect in text and content. All right, the Lamsa translation says, not only this, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the salvation of our bodies. Now, these are all giving you the to-wit, the redemption of our body from Romans 8:23. W.J. Cornbury, these are other Bibles, says, longing for the adoption that shall ransom our body from its bondage. The 20th century version of the New Testament, right, says, while we eagerly await our full adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Weymouth, in his translation, says, as we wait for full sonship in the redemption of our bodies. The New Berkeley translation, New Berkeley version, says, as we await that rite of sonship that involves our bodily redemption. See, I'm getting a point to where that you'll get back to it later on. All right, J.B. Phillips says, while we wait for the redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last we have realized our full sonship in Him. All right. Now, see then, Paul is saying that we are groaning within ourselves. See, it's not somewhere else, or this is not an outward thing. It's not something somewhere else. This is within us. And the only way, let's see, it's in the seal book. The prophet said the only way you can groan is for new life to have come in. I believe it's 79. I believe it's right of the seal book. New life to have come in. It would make us to where we could groan. And see, we wouldn't buy no groaning. We would only be like nature. Nature is groaning. I'll read you a quote in a little while where Brother Rand says that they can't do that. Nature can't groan like we groan. They are groaning because they're wanting to be delivered. You know, the trees, there won't be any crooked trees in the future home. There won't be any, things that are wrong. It's all going to be perfect. All right? So then, but the whole creation, our creation, is now waiting, see, for someone to understand. All right? Now, I emphasize again, and then I'll break away from it, that the groaning within us is a desire that's been created within us because of the new birth. All right? And that desire that we have is to come to a place to where that there is no more pain and agony or troubles or heartaches or whatever, you know. All right? And that's what we're longing for. And, you know, and like I said now, but we can look at it and say, well, that's over there at the resurrection. Well, if there's no groaning now, there's not a resurrection for us. If new life hasn't come in, then there's no way of us groaning for something to do. It's like the world. It's like everything else. Now, here's my point. So we get started now. All right. See, we're not waiting. I'm not talking about tonight. I mean, this afternoon, and won't for the next message or maybe. I'm not talking about something that I'm wanting to be changed. He said, well, boy, I'd love to be, you know. No, see, you're not listening to my point. I don't believe if we, in other words, I believe if we don't get this right now, that we will still be groaning, but we're going to the ground. And somebody's going to come to a place. Well, why can't we claim we're going to come to that place and forget it and just let it go? See, But at this present time, I'm not concerned with being changed. See? I'm concerned with the revelation. See? To be revealed to me. All right. Now, to be healed, how do you receive your healing? You accept it by faith. You say, God, thank you for my healings, etc. We'll get to this in a minute and you'll see it. But you say, thank you, Lord. And then he reveals to you that you're healed. And sometimes it's quite a while before it's delivered, right? You understand me? Abraham believed God, but it's 25 years, right? Before he got, we'll say 24 something, you know. Before he got to the place of getting a change of the body. See? And he didn't really realize that he was going to have to go through a change to be able to get an Isaac. Because he got an Ishmael without a change. That was his problem. Right? But see, we're looking at something as to try to bring it to a complete end of something instead of looking at God trying to bring his word and reveal that word to where that you and I can stand here and say, I'm redeemed. I mean, somebody's going to have to do that. As I said, it's like you're healing. You say, by stripes I'm healed. All right? And you may have to do that for a while. But then one day God says, you're healed. He said, well, thank you. You tell everybody, I'm healed. Well, you're still sick. You still taking medicine? Yeah. Sure am. But ain't got nothing to do with it. Because God told me I was healed. See? And when you get it that way, you don't have to worry about it. Like I told you, that doctor said, I'll take your kneecap off. I said, life said, you won't take my kneecaps off. I still got them. Old devil, they'll hurt every once in a while. He said, see there? Yeah, and that's been about 25 to 30 years ago. You know, and all of that. But still. Now watch. See, the world is waiting for somebody to come to a place that God can speak to them and tell them what's going on and tell them about the word of the hour that we're living. All right? See? Waiting on the end time bride to receive the revelation of the redemption of the body. All right? Now, everybody follow me. See, I'm not talking about the redemption of the body. That's a change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. That's an easy process. That's a thing that will happen. But it'll only happen because new life has come in here. All right. So now we try to pick up and we'll go with it. All right. So now, the prophet said on Future Home, and you can read these as we go along. I probably scan read them to try to save time because anybody ought to know them. That page 49 of the Future Home, that we are a part of this earth, our body. All right. Your soul is a part of God, an attribute of God displayed here on earth in a body. The body is to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. So God came down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost and redeemed your soul. And you, see you, this out here, being part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. Now how are we redeemed? By it. What? By what? Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost redeems the soul. All right? Now, we'll get into the Future Home. If you'll read that, we'll get into it and try to preach about it some that you'll see it. It's going through the same process. But he said, it's redeemed by it. You're in the process now. It's growing on. That's what I like. Something growing. And we ain't just laying around haphazard. Well, one of these days, we're fine. Boy, the bus is going to pull up. You know, well, like I was trying to say this morning, don't be down at that railroad station in Gainesville waiting on the bus because it don't go there. They've got a bus depot. You get in the wrong place, you're not supposed to have no problems, you know, and all. But if we do, we get into trouble a lot. But now, listen. In the redemption of the soul. All right. Now watch this. Then we'll just step over in the body. And then we'll go back and move a little. In the redemption of the soul. Or the person, the being. Whatever you want to call it. We must go through what to make a new birth? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost makes the new birth. All right. Any of those things apart from the other, it doesn't work. So it's a unit of bringing us to salvation. All right. Now, in doing that then, we come to a state of sanctification. Okay? Now remember, I'm just hitting the edge of what I want to bring, but it is the edge of the revelation of the redemption of the body. Right? Because in salvation, sanctification means cleansed and set aside for service. All right? The prophet says you go out in the yard, you pick up a glass. You've got a reason for that glass. That's justification. He said, then you don't put it in use. He said, you take it in the house, you wash it, you scour it out, you cleanse it real good. He said, that's sanctification. He said, now it's not in service yet. He said, it's you just got it ready. All right? So what happened when the sanctification came into the individual is actually it cleansed and claimed that area. Called the soul. Now, I know you can argue the soul is this and soul is that. No, soul over here. Soul over here, soul over here. Go on. Keep going. But see, it cleanses or claims it. Right. See, just as you read in the future home that when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was dropped out on this earth at Calvary, it cleansed or claimed this earth. All right? So now, we're in the message, so I'm encouraging you to read the message of the future home before I preach on it, okay? All right? But see, it's to set aside. To sanctify something, you set that vessel aside. See? Now, I gave you two or three quotes on that, so you just go ahead and read them. But see, you come down to word that you must receive then, page 17 of the future home, which is number 4 of your notes. You come to a place then that, what are you talking about? That he's brought the church through justification, he called it through sanctification, then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire. All right, now let me get over here and give you that scripture. Matthew 3:11, where it's speaking of the Holy Ghost and fire. All right. Now, so there's more to it than just setting something aside. You must come to the position or place for it to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, see, I know a lot of you Pentecostals talked about the Holy Ghost and fire and things. That's all right. That's their business. But that fire, even that sanctification, if you look down page 23 of the future home, and he says the Holy Ghost, he sent down sanctification, then sent the Holy Ghost in fire and burnt the sin out of him and dwelled inside. Amen. All right. Now, even that justification, you'll find in the future home that everything's not just right. It just chops off your past sins. Then that sanctification, you'll find that it cleanses or sets aside the person and claims that person, all right, the soul of the individual. But it's still then, it's not right. See? You get new desires, you get new thoughts, you get new ways, you want to go to church, everything's wonderful, you're doing better, but still you need the Holy Ghost and fire. All right? See, now the reason you need the Holy Ghost and fire, see, the fire will burn out anything that's left of you that didn't leave out at sanctification. You say, well, it was cleansed and set aside. Well, that's true. You can cleanse a vessel to a certain degree. But there are certain germs, etc., and things that will not leave out. So there is parts of us that we still have troubles. We get sanctified. We come to church. I said, we want to do right. We want to live right. Everything's fine. But if we don't have that Holy Ghost inside of us, we're not a child of God. Right? But we need something to burn out everything, to die to ourselves and burn out what's left. See? Because sanctification is really a dangerous stage. Your prophet explains it. He said it even, it's like this. He said, you'll go to church. And he said, if you ain't careful, he said, there'll be seven demons come back and take their place in there. And you're living a good sanctified life. Going to church, glory, hallelujah, I'm in the message. Believe everything the prophet said. And what is it? Seven times worse than it was to start with, because it said it makes you a religious demon. That's what comes in there, is religious things. All right? Taking the place where before you was a drunken, you know, all the world, a dope addict or a pill head or something, and you won't dare do that anymore. No. See? Because you become religious. Well, see, then you need something to come in and burn that out. And remember, that sanctification is where the seed is planted. Your prophet says you're begotten at sanctification. We'll go back through some of these things. He said, you're begotten. He said, like a baby into the wound. A baby into the wound is not a baby outside where it can be called a baby. It's a baby in the wound. Right? See? We need more than you just say, well, I believe God. And he cleansed me. He took away my smoking, my drinking, my gambling, my this, my adulteries, my thing. He took all of that away. Well, wonderful. So can Alcoholics Anonymous do a lot of good for you? All right. Not putting them in no category with Christianity, no. Just telling it like it is. All right? But still we need something to take place. So it's the Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right.
See? That fire comes down and burns out all of that just left of you, Sister Gail. Because there's a lot of us left.
Right.
And see, we really need a lot of Holy Ghost and fire now. Because there's a lot of us left that needs to go out, right? But we're not on that. We're laying a foundation for something. All right? Well, see, one day, this world will go through a baptism. But it's after the millennium. It's just a burning over before the millennium. The Armageddon is just a temporarily burning over. All right? But then you go through the millennium, and then you come out, and there'll have to be a burning of everything. All right, we're not into that. We're just laying a little foundation with it. But see, but you can receive that. All right, and it makes a way getting you ready. All right, the world is redeemed the same way as the individual is redeemed. All right. Now, let's drop back out of that now, because if I proceed any further, I got to preach the message on to what I'm looking at, and I don't want to do it. I want this in your mind. I want one thing in your mind. The biggest portion of the worldly systems, in counting the ones of this message, and I won't call names, but a lot of you know the names, they believe we're going to get a new body. In this message. After all the prophet has said and things, and they'll quote you to death about it. Right. And they believe you're going to get you a new body. Right. See, I don't know of any organized religion. Now, I'm saying I don't know now. Okay? That ever taught anything other than getting a new body.
Right.
Now, if you know about it, I'd like to know, because I don't know of any other church. I don't know of any church that ever taught getting this body redeemed. See, they thought we're going to get a new body. And my just plain old reasons of looking at it is, you know, sometimes you just don't think God is good enough or great enough, powerful enough to be able to do that. So he's just going to make us a new one. He's just going to speak one of these days, and we're going to come out of the dust of the earth and go, you know, and all of that. But, you know, you won't be you. Where are you going to get it from? Now, I've expressed my points on these things for many years. See, Brother Branham even said that Jesus' body come out of this earth. All right? Wholeheartedly agree. But did it come out of this dirty, stinking, rotten stuff that's dirty now? Just a simple question. No. It came from the original creation. That's the way I like to look at it. See, in the original creation, there was no sin, right? Back before this world, when it was created and things, it come from things it was not. God spoke it into existence, and it was wonderful, perfect, right?
Amen.
Not eternal, because he didn't create the world eternal.
Right.
See, but it's perfect, because God can't create anything imperfect.
Amen.
Right? He didn't create the devil imperfect. He created him perfect and let him have his own way, and he went imperfect. All right. Now, so then the world, see, was perfect. Sin is what's perverted it. So when the body of Jesus Christ came in, Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me, he simply went back to the same elements that he had created this world from and just brought it right into existence. You say, but that wouldn't be the same body of the world. Why not? Where did Adam come from? Did God scoop up dirt and this and potash, petroleum and things and to make body, you know, for Adam? Or did he just speak? The prophet says one day God will speak. And he said, we won't have to come forth like man thinks. He said, he'll just speak and that body will come right out of the earth. I've gave you the illustration over thousands of times that, you know, the prophet said it's not necessarily the same gases. Why? Why would he make that statement? I've told you why. An African in Africa, you're in Africa, and a lion grabs you and he kills you. And he eats some of you, and they grab the lion with a net, and they throw him in a boat and turn him down to a ship and plane, and they get him to America about half a day later. And boop, out goes the bathroom guy, you know, and that's part of you. Part of you's in Africa, part of you's in America. No problem with me. Because 16 elements is 16 elements. He don't have to go over and dig a hole. There won't be a hole where Paul was at. A hole in the ground. And I don't know where you've ever been out where you took a bulldozer and pushed up ground. You can tell in a hurry whether anybody ever been buried there or not. Any of you ever been there and seen that happen? It don't look the same. You'll have a red clay bank. You can cut that bank off straight as can be, and you'll have a red clay bank. Right in the middle of it, you'll have a round circular length of that body that doesn't look like the rest of it. You can tell in a hurry whether or not it's there. See? But what am I getting at? I'm getting one point. Our bodies came out of this earth. From mom and daddy. Jesus' body came by the spoken word. All right. So he will speak again one day and we will come forth. I agree. We know that. All right. But now I'm not concerned about that part. I'm concerned about something just a little bit prior to then, which is where we are right now. Now we're going to get down to some things. We're going to talk about something that your prophet kept emphasizing, but people don't want to emphasize it anymore, maybe. But he says Christianity is based upon resurrection, not replacement.
Absolutely.
Resurrection.
Right.
So Christianity is based. Now, I gave you some quotes down through there, about three of each one, and that's what I try to give. But Christianity is based on resurrection. Not replacement.
Right.
It's on the message, number 8 on your notes, questions and answers in Hebrews part 2, 57:10-02. Christianity is based upon resurrection, not replacement, resurrection. The same Jesus went down, the same Jesus come back. If you go down red-headed, you come back red-headed. If you go down black-headed, you come back black-headed. See, it's a resurrection. Now, a lot of us may go down gray-headed. Right? Or purple-headed today. You know. But, you know what? We're going to come back? The original color. They'll say then only the hairdresser knows for sure. Right? So now God is the only one that knows for sure. You ain't lost any hairs. You heard that, right? They're there waiting on us. It's going to come back.
Amen.
All right. Then Christianity is based upon resurrection, not replacement. The same Jesus that went down is the same Jesus that come back. And according to the scriptures, he had been nailed to prints in his hands. I wrote it all the way through my notes and done got off all my notes. Okay, John 20, well, I guess it's John 20, 26, and 27, that Jesus said, put your hands into my side. Put your fingers, in other words, into my... He was standing there with a body that had nail prints and holes in his side. Oh, of course, I know. Great understanding of supernatural revelation, Brother Dale. You don't understand that it was changed after then. Well, I don't like him changed after then. That's what I said. I don't like where Brother Brown may come along and they say, but he changed later. You know what he says on the future home too? Twice, I'm pretty sure. But he said, I know it is personally. He said, I've taught three processes from a boy. And you know what people are saying now? It's not justification, sanctification, baptism, or holy. It's just the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But I'm just going to stay with what he says. Now, that's just my point, because that way I can see how it lines up. All right. Watch him where he gets down to the next one. He'll cover to basically the same place. Let's read it. Life preached in 1958, 519, E14. Christianity is based on resurrection. We know that. Well, if you go down here and on earth as a black-headed woman, you'll rise as a black-headed woman. You won't rise up. You say, well, now, if this is a what goes down in resurrection, that same has to come up. Not this, and that's replacement. See, in other words, he's saying if you've done anything else, it's replacement. That's not resurrection. Resurrections bring the same Jesus up that went down, the same person. All right, so if that's true, then we're going down the same way and coming back. Garnet's funeral preached 1963. Garnet Peake's funeral 11:18. All Christianity is based on resurrection. That's our hopes. Now let's find out why the Creator has so set it in order. If we did not even have a Bible, we would still know that Christianity was right. Now resurrection is not replacement. Resurrection is bringing the same thing up that went down. If I should drop the Bible from the stand on the floor and catch another Bible and replace it, that's replacement. But resurrection is bringing the same Bible up that went down, and that's what resurrection means. It means to be raised up. All right. Christianity is placed up on resurrection, not replacement. Now, so then why would it be that it would be necessary to precede, this will give you an idea where we're going, why would it be necessary to precede the prophet's message with a divine healing campaign? That's according to Malachi 4, right? In Malachi 4 it says the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wing. That's a healing campaign. So before Brother Branham's message could come, his real message, because his message began in 63, right? Not in the years of preparation, because that was what Paul and them had already preached. It began in 63 of the opening of the seals. All right. Now, there would have to be a divine healing campaign. All right. Now, God is going to show them, even back there in his divine healing campaign, he was going to show what he's going to do. There was not a divine healing campaign in Luther's age, Wesley's age, or even the beginning of Pentecost. Now, there was a lot of healing and signs and wonders in Pentecost, right? Azusa Street. Come on. But it basically began with Brother Branham, right? Even they listed with Brother Branham and Oral Roberts. So somewhere in the 30s there, you begin the late parts and you begin to talk about divine healing. That's why they couldn't understand Brother Branham, because the word divine healing was meant. But it was not divine healing that he was a divine healer. It was divine healing in that God is going to heal. And he did. That's what it means, divine healing. Divine healing doesn't mean that you'll never get sick again, because you can be sick of something, be healed of it, die the same thing. It doesn't mean it that way, and that's where they misunderstood him. Because, see, it had to be, though. It had to be that a divine healing campaign would strike the world to set a stage. Like I said, now go back in the Bible and find it, or the prophet's message and find it. Go back into history and find it. There's not one in Luther and Wesley. Not one in early Pentecost. It was right around 1940, somewhere 30-something to 40, that it started a divine healing campaign. All right. That would show that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healings in his wings. All right. People accepted that. I've heard of myself, and you have too, of the great men of the day, T.L. Osborne's and different ones, it says that they saw God. That they saw a great man that God would honor his word. And that, you know, even to the man that said when he's praying, said it's God. But said when he starts talking, said it's William Branham. Well, even that was an honor because other people didn't have that said about them. All right? But see, it's coming to the place to where that something would start being set in motion. All right? Now, number 12 on your notes. We jump a lot through the message, so you read in between. On a message called Hear Ye Him, 1956, 12:15, said, no one can preach salvation without preaching divine healing. You remember that was the argument with Dr. Bess, which is the next one down below there, the angel of the Lord, and Dr. Bess talking to the man about it, you know, and the man was talking against divine healing. No one can preach salvation without preaching divine healing. So you can't preach redemption of the soul without preaching redemption of the body. See? When you can't deal with sin in any measure, lest you deal with sickness and every attribute. All right? So what are we looking at? No divine healing, he says. No redemption of the body. What did he say divine healing was? The angel of the Lord, 1951, 502. Said, we have the earnest. If there's no divine healing, there's no redemption of the body. We have the earnest. The down payment of our salvation now. Right. Now, divine healing is an earnest. Okay. Now, if salvation is in stages, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, being each one a deeper work or meaning of God, you know, something taking place, why can't we look at the redemption of the body the same way? See, in the redemption of the soul, even if we come to the new birth, it's just the earnest of our inheritance, the new birth. But see, healing of the body is a down payment. Now, that's why I can't understand, since once I've seen it. Now, I was like everybody else when I was in organized religion. I believed like everybody else because that's all I know. We're going to get a new body, glory, hallelujah. They just smoke like everything. We don't have to worry about this one because we're going to throw this one down and get us another one, you know. Yeah, right. No matter what you do to this one, well, see, I remember the Bible said for me not to do them things, so I didn't do them. That's before I come in the message. I didn't like smoking, so I throwed it away. Never did drink. Never did care nothing about none of that. Didn't care about vulgarity because I like my teeth to stay pretty straight, and I knew if you said a lot of dirty words, you could get your mouth busted. I'm honest. I didn't have no salvation to set me free. I just didn't care anything about all of that. All right? But you see, if there's no divine healing, there's no redemption of the body. Now that's what your prophet just said. If God can't heal this body, he can't change the body. But if he can heal the body, he can change the body. Because it's an earnest. So then there had to be a healing campaign, strike the world. Before the prophet would come with the message that would be dealing with the redemption. I hope you write that down. There had to be a healing campaign to show the healing of the body would be perfect and right. To show it could be done, because mankind always believed in healing. Right? Martin Luther preached and prayed for the sick. Had all kinds of signs and wonders taking place. John Wesley rode a horse for 5,000 miles a year preaching the gospel. And the sick being healed. And wasn't he the one that the horse fell in the hole and broke his leg or whatever? He got off. He said, God made me. Heal me. God made the horse. Heal it. Prayed the horse. For the horse got on it and rode off. There's always been those things. But never never a divine healing campaign. Never a worldwide sweeping thing. Luther, it was a worldwide sweeping of the message of the just shall live by faith. Right? Sanctification was a worldwide sweeping of cleansing up the life and getting ourselves clean. Azusa Street, 1906, was a worldwide sweeping of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts being restored. All right? And those would be the healing. But then there would come a time that there had to be a healing campaign strike the world to show, God was going to show that he could heal. Until even your prophet said, the Beatles said they were going to start a healing campaign. Right? Such a pull in their day until people were healed just by hearing music. See? A healing campaign sweeps the world. Why? Because it's getting ready. Ready for what? Ready for the message to come that would bring into being an understanding of how that we can come to a redemption of the body. See, now I'm moving into it. I got to back up again, okay? But, see, no matter what, Brother Branham said, look and see. He said, that lady sitting there, a crippled up, but said, in just a moment. Just a moment. See, it wasn't just Brother Branham. It's credited that Brother Branham and Oral Roberts were the spearhead of the divine healing campaign. Right. We believe that. But see, people went around. Brother Branham prayed for a man whose nose was missing. It's 3 or 4 days or something before the nose restored. Brother Bosworth prayed for a man's nose that was missing, eat all the cancer, and it was instantly restored. A divine healing campaign struck the world. Because God was going to testify of what he was going to bring into being. He was going to show first that he could heal the body. He was going to prove to the world that he could heal the body. Do you hear Brother Branham telling? He said, bring me 24 of your worst cases and I will guarantee you healing for every one of them. Now, where's there ever been a man standing like that? That's how much he knew where he stood. But he said, knowing the message would come. Don't you ever listen to Brother Ryan saying that? He said, knowing the message would come. What message? Yeah. The message to show us the revealing of the redemption of the body so that we can, to it, understand. But get this right, if we don't understand healing, we don't understand redeeming the body. But a God that can take a cancer-eating patient and instantly restore them till they can't even find it? How much more would it take for him to just move that right on out in the rest of us? But the only difference was he's only going to restore that person back to original health. In other words, cancer gone. To eat up, the whatever's done, it's gone. And a lot of time God doesn't choose to do it that way, right? The life goes out of the cancer, the body has to purify the cancer. or either go have it taken out or whatever. And sometimes it makes the patient that much more sicker because the body is reacting, trying to help its own self. Because God in the beginning put in you in the garden. Right? An ability to fight off diseases. An immune system. You know, people don't die of AIDS. You don't die of AIDS. Well, Brother Daly, dying around the world. No, you don't die of AIDS. You die of complications. AIDS is not the killer. It's a destroyer of the immune system. When you destroy the immune system, then anything else takes over.
Right.
They just can't figure out how to bypass and help the immune system. They're doing a good job now helping people. But AIDS don't kill people. We wind up probably more killed by drugs than anything else, but that's all right. We still believe in medicine.
Yeah.
Watch what he says here on the Pool of Bethesda, 1958-18. He's talking about the redeemed. God sent his Son, made in the form of sinful flesh, that's redeemed us. And we believe now that we have the earnest of our salvation, a foretaste of what heaven will be by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that through divine healing, we have the earnest of our redeemed bodies. Father, a crippled up woman, nervous, sick, but thou art here to remove this curse. Have mercy upon her. Tell her to go home well. You see what we're dealing with. No wonder he would make this statement. He said, we talk about all kind of faith. He said, we ain't even got enough faith to heal a toothache. Come on. Oh, bless God, I'll tell you what. No, don't holler too much because you're going to make the devil mad at you. You make the devil mad at you, he's going to jump on you.
Right?
Don't challenge him unless you got the goods. The old boy that used to work with, everybody thought he was a big blow, you know. And I knew better than what a lot of them did about him. You know, so one day a guy just jumped up and puffed in his face. Well, he just knocked the fire out of him and gave him a good whooping. Well, come find out, everybody found out what I already knew, that he wasn't such a bluff anyway. Just don't bluff the devil unless you got the goods. Because he's a bluff and he's a professional at it. But he can fight too. You better have the goods when you challenge him. You say, I take every spirit in this building under my control. Your prophet said you better have it. If you don't, you just open up the cans and made him mad at you. See, but if there's no divine healing, there is no earnest of our redeemed body.
Yep.
So you understand what I'm talking about then. A divine healing campaign struck the world. God was setting the stage. And you know, he never stopped setting it. Divine healing didn't stop with the prophet. They're proving it out there even in the world. They're having healing campaigns all around the world. People are being healed, right? Come on. You don't have to be in this message to have a healing campaign. Matter of fact, the people in this message are not having healing campaigns. It's the people outside of this message that are having it. But see, they're living in a bygone day. But they're having healings and things. All right. Look at number 17 on your nose. Fundamental Foundation for Faith, 1956, 113. Jesus couldn't come to redeem us from just sin without redeeming us from sickness or all the things that goes with it, even to death. He redeemed us from death. Now watch him. Now this is for later. He redeemed us from death. What? And we do not die. Well, what do you mean? We go to the funeral every day. That's not death. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says a Christian dies. And that's what your prophet had to say about it. Death? Let's say we go to the undertaker, we look at it, we say death. No, uh-uh. Fear him that can destroy the soul. That person just moves right out of that body right into another condition, right? Whether it be sinner or saint. There's no way to kill the soul. God is the only one that can kill the soul. Okay? You just step right out of that. Brother Branham, like referring to about the little girl, you know, that said, see there, said she wasn't dead. She was just sleeping there in the ministry of Jesus. Do you understand? No divine healing, no resurrection. You see why we ought to emphasize healing?
Right.
We should.
Right.
Yeah. But now I'm also like that on this basis. And that's the reason I don't preach like other people. I don't preach against hair, dress, clothes, when it is. Because if you preach every one of them, the people are going to still be the same. But if you preach the gospel and they get delivered, it'll take care of all them things. And that's the way I preach. Because that's the way I believe it. Well, then it wouldn't do us any good to say, okay, now we're going to start, and we're going to start. The ladies can't go to Pigeon Forge, and the men can't go fishing because we're going to start tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Two or three weeks, we're going to have healing campaign every night. We're going to preach on nothing but healing. Well, that sounds good. You know, if I've ever led to, I'll do it. But never been led to do it like that. You know why? Because I like to do it like Richard was done talking, testifying of last week. I like to preach it, and then you get up here and come here and tell me. I was delivered back there. I was delivered here. I was delivered there. I like for that to happen. Why? Because it's you taking a part. See, you're catching on to what I'm doing. So why have a healing campaign every night? Now, we should have. I agree with you. We ought to have services for the next 6 months every night on the preaching of the gospel. See? Because in the preaching of the gospel will come the healing.
Amen.
He told me that years ago. I asked God a question one day, and he said, you preach it and I'll back it up. That's all he said. You think, man, I've been trying my best to preach all I can. He said, no, but you ain't bringing it right. You preach the gospel and I'll back it up. You preach the truth and I'll back it up. I started doing the best I could preach to the truth. And you think I wasn't trying to preach the truth before then? I just seen the importance of preaching of the word. I can get up here and start, and I can bring up Al and how that his mother is so-and-so and his daddy is so-and-so, and Brother Collie, I can bring up somebody in his family or something like that. I can go back in there, and I can get every one of your feelings and have you just feeling good. You know, you just really, oh, you're just feeling so good. And you know what? You'll walk yourself right into healing. Yeah. But instead of doing that, sometimes I have to say, Al, why are you acting so grumpy? And he looks at me and says, I can say it to him. And a lot of y'all ain't going to say that to. But he'll look at me and he said, Brother Dale, just keep preaching until I get it. Help me get delivered from myself. See? Healing. See? We don't die. See? We have divine healing as the earnest of our immortal bodies, which is coming on. That's in that same one, fundamental foundation of faith. You want an immortal body? Get in the Word. Walk in the Word. These other things will take care of itself. We'll walk right into a change of the body. And I don't believe it's like Brother Moat used to illustrate it. He said you're running like going up a ladder, you know. Well, you don't do it. You're going to get hurt. Don't run at a ladder and jump about three rungs up, you know, and take off. No, just take one step. And Brother Hal, you sure don't want to come down and miss some of them, do you? You're going to get hurt. Just take one step at a time. Let's just walk in the Word as God reveals it. You know why? Because we'll be ready for the change. Because it's going to be revealed to us that we're changed. All right? And when it's revealed to us that we're changed, we'll stand here and just go right on. This is happy to be here, but we'll know it's over. Because I'm talking about the redemption, to wit, to understand the redemption.
Amen.
Not to just get changed. That's a simple thing. Then here comes Brother Branham along. What? Conduct, order, and doctrine. He said, what's the change? He said, just a change.
Amen.
That's what he said. Brother Branham, I ask you a question. He said, and I answered it. It's just a change. He said, your glorified body is being built around your born-again experience. He said, the same way that it was in Mary. What? Just forming a baby as she ate. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? But I just want to be changed. Well, let's believe in divine healing too. Let's get divine healing right. Who was it? One of the great men asked Brother Branham, said something about, and he said, you know, he said, no. He said, go sit down under that, talking about Brother Bosworth, the old oak tree. He said, go over and sit down under him and sit there a while. Then later on he referred about it. He said, I look at him and see. He said, I spent all this struggle in my ministry and trying to get people to believe. He said, he just takes a word and just ties Satan in such a knot till Satan cannot do it. He said, people are healed. You don't ever listen to that. How are we healed? By the revealed word. God reveals to you that you're healed. Then you just step into it. Come on, brothers. Then you just step right over into it. See? So my concern is what? To wit, to understand the redemption of this body. There's my adoption. Because you see, you'll catch on real quick, that the three stages of adoption that I've been talking about doesn't end with a change. That is the completion, yeah. But the third stage of adoption is to get the understanding that you're redeemed. A lot of difference in the two now. You better consider that statement I just made. That's a message on down the road. To get the revelation that you're redeemed. There is your adoption that Paul was speaking of. The redemption, to understand the redemption. There's never been a day could understand it to this day. Let's go ahead. What do we got? Let's stand here. 223. Anybody have a need? Over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Anybody have a need? Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful
words.
Yeah. Sister Susan has got a problem with diarrhea. She's not here today, so let's just send a prayer cloth and breathe it.
Amen.
Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to our sister to believe that by your stripes she is healed, and we thank you. Your word is truth. Now just make it manifest in Jesus' name. Anybody else? She's just believing. I'm not going to pray for you if I don't believe God can deliver you. I'm not going to try to make you feel good. I'm going to try my best to pray the prayer of faith. That means I believe it. I believe it because God said it. They said, Brother Branham said, you told them people have healed. He said, what did you want me to tell them? I told them what the word said.
Savior,
See, if we say anything other than that, we are liars. Anything other than I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm changed is a liar. Father, you heard our sister. She wants that revelation that she's redeemed. And we believe it, Father, because you said it. Now, may I say that you have already said. Lord, we've got to change. Everything is within us. All we got to do is just keep eating, and it just pushes out. We believe it in Jesus' name. And just go say it. Say it until you see it made manifest. Well, I'm afraid to say it because that might not be true. You're a big old liar anyway. Because you're not saying what God says. Say what God says until he comes on the scene. Then you'll be like the man was that was saying, you know, that was prayed for, that Brother Branham told about, it was blind. He come back in the prayer line. He said, I thought you told me I was healed. He said, I thought you said you believed me. He said, go say it. Man was selling newspapers on the street and hollering, so-and-so, extra, extra, read all about it. I'm healed, I can see. Everybody making fun of him. Go down to the barber shop to get a haircut. Sitting in there and gets wrapped up, ready to be shaved or haircut or something. The old barber was making light of him and said, I thought you said you had healed. He said, I am and I can see. And about that time his eyes come open, out of the street, into the street he goes. He confessed his way in too. You say you're sick, God has to honor your word. You say you're healed, he has to honor your word. Can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. What do you think about it? A healing campaign had to go out to set a stage. Then here would come the prophet. Pick that up. And march right into the opening of the word. And you know what I've always told you? You go after the seals broke, and you get every message there. And you read the titles of the message. He said it'd become a brand new book. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Who is this Melchizedek? Future home, marriage and divorce, things that are to be. All of them are eternal thoughts brought by a prophet. To try to get us to see. Living Word. One more time before we go. Jesus. Name above all. Let's believe it. All right. I want to give you this for the contact between me and you, okay? But let's believe it. Father, our sister needs you about her job and things. And Lord Jesus, we believe you that all is well. Because she's brought it to you, Lord, not to me. She's laying her heart out before you, Lord. She's saying it. All is well. All is well. All is well. Jesus. You love it? Above all. Beautiful Savior. Glorious. He's wonderful, isn't he? Emmanuel, God is with, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Amen and amen and amen. Remember, the other sisters are leaving as quick as they can to go on up to be up there and have a good time together. And we pray that God will bless them, give them a safe journey, make everything go, and all to be glorious for Him, right? So let's believe it that way as we pray and dismiss, all right? Father, we thank You for this day and Your love unto us. Thank You for opening Your Word, because You never failed us when we don't even have the right answer. You always come to bring the things unto us. When we don't know which way to go, You come and You bring it. And Lord, thank You. We love You. We just ask You now that You would be with the sisters as they travel on the highways, Lord, going to have a good time together as Christian sisters and gathering together and just fellowshipping. And we ask You to take care of them on the highway, give a safe journey. Let everything be all right, all the cars be well. Lord, everything be okay, and let the traffic, Lord, be clear where they can just move right on. And we believe You. We thank You. We love You. We commit everything to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss. Pray one for another. Amen.